So the title of today's sermon is Deliverance from Unclean Spirits. Can we say that together? Amen. Now, we're going to look at New King James Version. Mark chapter 4 first. Let's do Mark chapter 4. You are familiar with that story. Mark chapter 4 from verse 35 to 41. I would like someone to read. New King James. Yes. Mark chapter 4 from verse 35 to verse 41. New King James. This is the beginning of the story of deliverance from unclean spirits. Please go on.
On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly, and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Amen.
Amen. Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And it just reminds you of our contract, you know, only your Bible app and your notes app. While you are in this sermon for the next 1 hour, no other engagement. In honor of the Lord, you want to give your full attention to God. And he will reward you. Amen? Say with me, say, "He will reward me as I give my full attention." Amen. So, who told them to go to the other side? Who told them to go on this journey? Yeah? Who initiated this journey? So, this was Jesus and his disciples traveling in a boat at evening time. Yeah? Did you read that? Was it evening? Yeah? Who said they should go? It was Jesus. Why? Why did he say you should go? Do you know? Now, if you read the story beforehand, Jesus all day has been teaching. Yeah? He's been teaching, you know, taught the parables of the kingdom. Yeah? The wheat and the tares, the mustard seed, the sower, and everything. So he has done that all day, and it was evening. And I tell you something, Jesus was physically tired. Because he has been teaching all day. Amen? So normally, what should Jesus do after he had this work? He should rest. Yeah? But he did not rest. Because he had picked up in the spirit an assignment. There was something urgent that needed to be done. He picked it up by a spiritual gift called the word of knowledge. So from the word of knowledge, he knew, yeah, supernaturally, that there was an assignment on the other side. Yeah? And by another spiritual gift called the word of wisdom, he knew that he had to go there at that moment, though he was tired. Are you following? Yeah? So Jesus tells his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And as soon as he started the journey, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do as soon as he started the journey? Anybody? Yes?
He slept.
He was tired. Now, let me show you how you know that he did not sleep by mistake. Because he read this, so he said he was asleep on where? On the cushion, on the pillow. It is intentional. You know, he just didn't doze off. Yeah? He went into the inner part. Yeah? And lay down where? And his pillow. It reminds me when I go to bed at night. Because when I go to bed at night, I'm tired. When I lay my bed, I say, "Thank you, Lord, I love my bed." And my duvet. And my pillow. Amen. When you are tired, you love your bed. Amen. Hallelujah. He was asleep on a pillow. He was tired. Are you with me? Are you following the story? Good. So the question you need to ask yourself to understand this story is that, what did Jesus pick up in the spirit for him to say, let us go over to the other side? Now let's go to Mark 5 and quickly decode that. Then we'll come back to Mark 4. Because if we don't do that, you won't understand Mark 4 completely. Mark 5, verse 1. Mark 5, verse 1 to 2. Mark 5, 1 to 2, yes? Who's ready? New King James again. New King James or King James? Mark 5, 1 to 2, yes? Mark 5, 1 to 2.
And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Amen. Please follow the story. They land the other side, and what happened? Immediately. So what do you interpret from that drama? So this was, they traveled on the boat, and the moment they landed, immediately they had met him. So how do you interpret it? How do you interpret it? That one?
I think he felt something. Jesus felt something. There was that place actually needs me.
Yes.
So he's actually.
Yes, that's right. I take that. Very good. More. What about the man? What do you interpret about the man meeting him immediately?
The man was waiting.
The man was expecting. The man was. He was expecting him. He wasn't the man, he was the spirit. Okay, let's now go back to that Mark 4. So Jesus goes to the boat and he goes to Ben. He had picked up something in the spirit, but he did not tell his disciples. Yeah? He didn't tell them. He went to Ben. Then what happened? Give me that story again. What happened after Jesus went to bed? Mark 4, read it again, 35 to 41. I will stop you when I need to.
But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him.
Okay, now let's start from 35. Mark chapter 4, from verse 35. Let's read again.
On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat,
okay,
so that it was already filling.
Let's stop there. Now, before, when I read this story, in my mind I'm thinking it was raining, but it wasn't raining. You can check that also in Luke 8. There are three accounts of this story. Yeah? It was wind. It was not rain. Amen? It was wind. Yeah? It was a windstorm. There was no rain. Yeah? The wind, a great wind, as soon as they entered the boat and Jesus was sleeping and they were progressing to the other side, yeah, a windstorm arose. Yeah? And the wind blew the water, the waves, into the boat. Are you following? Yeah? It was what? It was wind. Continue.
And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said
just
to him.
What? So, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They start off, almost immediately, goes down and goes to what? Sleep. As he's sleeping, wind storm. Yeah? And waves filling the boat. But what was Jesus doing? He was soundly asleep. Maybe he was like me, he was snoring. Hallelujah. Yeah? He was not going to be bothered. He was sleeping soundly through the storm and through the waves. Whereas his disciples were what? They were panicking. In fact, in King James, in the version, it says they were in jeopardy. Yeah? I don't know whether it's that version of Matthew. They were in jeopardy. Yeah. What's jeopardy? You can check Google. I permit you. Amen. Yeah? Why was Jesus able to sleep through the storm, the windstorm?
Yes, that's the question.
Why? We're talking about unclean spirits. Deliverance from unclean spirits. Why was Jesus able to sleep through the storm?
Because he wasn't afraid.
He wasn't afraid. Yes, I take that. That's a good answer. More?
He had absolute faith.
Yes, he had faith. He wasn't afraid. I agree. Very good answer. That's more. Why was he able to sleep through the storm? I mean, I imagine that if there were waves, it was shaking the boat. Yes?
He trusts God, so he's at peace.
Yes, trust, faith. You know, I woke up this morning and the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. Faith is a decision to trust God. Amen. Is it faith? Faith is an act of the will. You are making a choice. You are choosing to trust. Amen? It's not that there's no other reason to doubt. But you are choosing what? To what? To trust or to lean upon or to rely upon or to depend upon God. Despite the waves. Despite the wind. More answers. Why was Jesus able to sleep through this storm? Okay.
Because he knows the outcome. As in, he knows the end from the beginning.
He knows something. Yes, more? Final answer. He knows something. Were you going to say something?
He has absolute confidence in what he's doing.
Yes, that's faith again. That's trust. That's not afraid. Everybody here, you are agreeing together.
I think by the looks of it, storm is something to do with the storm. I can say that there was purposely, there was a purpose behind this storm.
Yes.
That God should be there because that the Jesus was needed there.
Yes.
You know, immediately, that's why I think.
Yes. Please, put your hands together for Brother Z. I like that answer. I'm telling you, this is just, you see, there are depths and depths of revelation in the Bible. If you stay with the Holy Spirit, it will show you. Yeah? The spiritual warfare. Yeah? That other side. There was a legion of unclean spirits dominating that territory. Jesus picked it up in the spirit that he needed to go there and set somebody free. The moment he said, "Let us go to the other side," those spirits were ready. Hallelujah. And Jesus knew. Yeah? But because Jesus had faith, yeah? Not afraid, confidence in God, despite that, what did he do? He went to sleep. Yeah? Do you know where he went to sleep? So that he can teach his disciples a little lesson. Amen. So you know what these spirits did? Yeah? What did they do? They stirred up the wind. Hello? Jesus is coming to our territory and we don't want him there. I'll prove this. Don't just take my word for it. I'm going to show you this in Mark 5. I'll give you the evidence why I can make this deduction. So I'm not just, doing, I don't want to teach you rubbish. I'll show you Mark 5. We don't want you to come here. Yeah? So the first step is we're going to try to stop you from coming. Yeah? And they stir up the winds. Yeah? And what was Jesus doing? He slept soundly. Hallelujah. Because what? He had absolute confidence in God. Despite the legion of unclean spirit in the country of the gatherings. Hallelujah. So the next question is this. So the disciples, by the way, you know they were experienced fishermen. But this was more than that. They knew that this is not normal. Yeah? This is beyond us. So they go to wake Jesus. Yeah? What did Jesus do? Read it. When they woke him, what did he do? Just go back to Mark 4 and continue from the moment they went to wake. Read from where they went to wake him up.
And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?"
Continue.
Then he arose and rebuked the wind.
What did he do? What's the first thing he did? He rebuked the wind. Please follow me, what I'm trying to teach you. The first thing is not the waves. The first thing is what? The wind. And when Jesus is rebuking the wind, he's not just rebuking the natural. He is also rebuking the force behind what? The wind. Amen? He rebuked the wind. Continue.
And said to the sea, peace be still.
And now told the sea. You know, it was the wind that was troubling the sea. Now the wind has been rebuked. Now it tells the sea what? Peace be still. Into this modern language, you say, be calm. Yeah, you know, like, keep calm. How do you say it? No, the British English way or the British way. Keep calm and what? Keep doing what? And carry, keep calm and carry on. Yeah? So the reason, keep what? Calm and carry on as normal. Another way we are saying is be normal. Amen? And it was calm. Continue.
And the wind ceased, and there was
the
a
wind
great calm.
Ceased, and there was great calm. Continue.
But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?
Question. Why did Jesus ask them, why is it that you have no faith? What was the problem? Yeah, but it's not natural to be scared of. Look, if your boat is full of water, what are you going to be? You're going to be scared now. It doesn't make sense. And they already came to him. Goes, why did he tell them why? Why is that you have no faith? Why are you afraid?
Because it was Jesus that told them that we're going to the other side. Let's go to the other
side. Yes, Jesus has already told them, let's go to the other side. That's a good answer. There are many good answers. That's one of them. So it was Jesus that initiated this journey. Yeah? And it's important in your life that you let Jesus initiate your journeys. Because if you go on your own without Jesus, you know, as part of the plan, you can land in many unnecessary troubles. That's why we pray, lead us not into temptation. And many temptations we fall into because we embark on a journey that Jesus did not send us. Amen? Yes, more?
They didn't pray. Because if they had faith, they would have at least prayed for the wind to calm down.
Yes, so they did not. Okay, yes, I take that. I don't know how to explain it, but I get the point. You know that, you know, if you... He said, why are you so afraid? Why do you have little faith? So if you have faith, they will pray. But we can say they pray because they went to Jesus. They went to Jesus to say, help us. That's prayer. Not before, yeah, but during the station they went to Jesus. So, yes, continue.
Yeah, just talking about prayers, I believe today, before embarking on the journey, they will have prayed with Jesus that we commit this journey unto thy. Yeah? Let's go. And all of a sudden we've prayed and they got, I mean, trouble came and they lost faith. Jesus is wondering, I think we've prayed, we've committed this journey unto God's hand.
Okay, you're getting closer, but let me just, let me refine the answer. First and foremost, when Jesus is with you, yeah, prayer is not the issue. He is then already. Amen? And then, of course, when they went to tell him, Lord, save us, that's prayer. You get it? Because they're asking him to do something for them. So let's, for now, for this moment, assume that prayer is not what? The issue. Because Jesus is right there with them. They're in communication with him. Both before the journey and in the midst of the crisis. Yes? What is the issue? Just take that and then come on.
I think from the definition of faith is hope, what you hope for, and the substance of things you hope for, and things you don't. I'm mixing my words. Sorry. So I was just feeling that they didn't know that who Jesus really was in their midst.
Okay. It's not a perfect answer, but you're going closer to where I'm going to go to. That Jesus was there. Yeah. Jesus was there in the boat. Jesus told them, "Let's go to the other." Zai. This boat, it will be sink. Jesus, we have to sink too. Yeah? So what is the issue? Why is it that you're just saying, why is it that you have no faith?
I think there's also a question of the distrust they were showing. Because the question they ask is, don't you care that we perish.
Okay? Yes. So again, that's a distrust. So basically, in that statement, it's like, oh, you we know you will get away one way or the other. Maybe you will get away, you know, but we will perish. You know, so there's sort of distrust. But that's not my perfect answer. But it's along the way. To get my perfect answer, we have to read that again. Now, if you add a turn, I won't give you a second turn for time. Otherwise, I won't go to Mark 5, and I need to go to Mark 5 today. Anybody? So let's just go to the answer. So read it again, Mark 5. Because I've thought about this before. All your answers, I've considered them before in my own, you know, in the past. But as I'm meditating on it, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, I get it, but I understand that with the situation that we're facing, I could understand. You know, before you ask someone why is that you have no faith, that means that they are falling short of a standard you expect of them. Yeah? I mean, I can't just go to an unbeliever and say, why is that you have no faith? Because at their level, how much faith can they have? And then for a believer, it depends. So for me to say, why is that you have no faith? It depends on how much faith comes by hearing by the word of God. It depends on how much you've been taught. Yeah? Or how much, what is the basis? If there's a basis why you have faith, and you don't have faith, then I can ask you, why is it that you don't have faith? But if there's no basis, then it's like, the standard is too high. So I'm asking you, what is going on here? I get it that they didn't have great faith. But Jesus is querying them at the moment. Why? So read it again. Read from the moment they woke him up. Please listen, follow. From the moment they woke him up. Listen.
And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?
Amen. Yes, just take the mic because it's beside you.
I think two things I can see that is a lack of education, lack of understanding,
mm-hmm.
which is basically the people who are around Jesus. And another thing is they have lack of trust as well on that.
Yes, so there's lack of trust and there's even mistrust, like someone explained. My perfect answer is that, you see, they had no faith before they came to Jesus. We understand. Yeah? Because they were seeing the waves, they were seeing the wind, they were trying to save. But they have come to Jesus now. Yeah? They're waking him up now. But they are still panicking. Hello? Why are you so fearful? He's right in his presence. Hello? What Jesus is rebuking them for now is what their behavior right in his presence. They've woken him up. They've called his attention. They have prayed. Yeah? But they are still what? Fearful. They are still panicking. And they are right in his presence. That's why Jesus is saying, okay, if it was not enough that I told you that we are starting this journey, if it was not enough that I'm in the boat, yeah? It ought to be enough that I'm awake, that I've risen up. Why are you still so fearful? Why do you have so low faith? The moment you've called on Jesus, you ought to enter some rest. Hello? The moment you have invited Jesus into the situation, you have to enter rest. It is not until the wind and the waves stop that you will enter rest. That is no faith. Yeah? Because you already have the result. Faith is what will help you produce what? The result. The moment you have brought Jesus in, the moment you have prayed, the moment you have called upon his name, yeah? That's where faith begins. Hallelujah. You have brought him in, you have called him in. You ought not to be panicking. You ought not to be fearful. Hallelujah. Faith is a decision to trust, yeah, in God. When you bring him in, you must learn to trust him. Hallelujah. It has not said, you know what? I'm trusting God as my provider. You are Jireh, Lord, you are enough. Hallelujah. But your ability to trust God as your provider, yeah, is not proved until you are in lack. Are you with me? Follow what my dad's trying to say. Yeah? If everything is working, you are unable to trust God as your provider. You say, God, please, I don't want to ever suffer any lack because you're my Jireh. Amen. But you know where that story came from? There was lack. God told Abraham to go and sacrifice what? His son. There was no lamb. The son said, Father, where is the lamb? What did he say? He said, God will provide.
May I ask a question? Is this why it's important when we go through difficult times and we know we're falling short not to beat up on ourselves?
Yes, you have to choose to trust. Faith is a decision. It's something to write down. Faith is a decision to trust God, even in the face of adverse circumstances. Hallelujah. You hold on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You what? You hold on. If you're going to see God, let me go back to that Jireh. If you're going to see God provide for your needs in an outstanding way, you would first have to learn to trust Him in the midst of what? Lack. If you are holding on too tightly, that I don't want to let, you don't want to let go because you don't want to lack anything, you will never experience God as your Jireh. Because you will try to make it happen by yourself. Hallelujah. And when you get to the end of yourself, just like the disciples, they were trying to save the boat. When they saw that they could not save it, they went to wake up Jesus. But because they were not trusting, even after they've woken up Jesus, they are still panicking. That's why when Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, please finish that story and then we'll move to Mark 5. Let's now prove that they were still panicking. Okay? Let's prove that they were still panicking.
Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen.
Can you see that? That even after Jesus has performed what? The miracle, they were still what? They were still panicking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were still panicking. So God did that in spite of their lack of faith. That's what we call this mercy. Amen. Many times God moves your life by mercy, but God wants to do much more than mercy in your life. Hallelujah. He wants to experience the fullness of His grace. And you enter grace through what? Through faith. Yeah? Through faith. Yeah? By grace we have been saved through faith. Romans 5. We have access into this grace through what? Faith. Hallelujah. Let's go back to unclean spirits. So this is battle round one. Yeah? Yeah? Jesus picks up in the spirit. That area is dominated by unclean spirits. A soul needs to be set free. He knows by the spirit that it was the timing. It was the right timing to go. Yeah? He knew also by the spirit that they will try to fight him. Because a legion of demons don't like to be dispossessed. Are you with me? Yeah? But what did Jesus do? By faith, he went to bed to sleep. Yeah? It is highly conceivable that Jesus expected the battle. But he still chose to what? Sleep. And like I told you, to teach his disciples what? A lesson. Yeah? And when the wind came and the waves came, because the power, he has the power and the authority over demons, over evil spirits. He can't be afraid of them. Hallelujah? He can't be afraid of them. He rose up and what? He rebuked the wind. And he commanded the waves, be calm. Be what? Calm down. and there was a great calm. And I want to apply that to your life. There are times, many times, that the devil will stir up a storm. Are you with me? It is his business. So we say, is it the business of the devil to stir up storms against my destiny? There is nothing you can do about it. God permitted him. If God did not permit him, he should be in the lake of fire. Yeah? His official role is the tempter and the adversary. That's his title. You know, like his name badge. In court. What is he? The adversary. He stirs storms. But God allowed it because God wants to show his power, yeah, in your life. The reason why God allowed it is that God wants to show his power in your life and put the devil to flight. That's part of his judgment. Hallelujah. When you as a human being trust God, yeah, and you are able to allow God walk through you to put the devil to flight, that glorifies God. And that brings shame to the devil. Are you with me? So, Mark 5. Go to Mark 5. Please follow this story now. So, the unclean spirits have been dealt with, round one. Yeah? And what do you think happened to the disciples after this experience? Their faith level will rise. Now they know. Now what? It can stop the wind. And what? It can stop the waves. Hallelujah. So, if you say with me, say, with Jesus in my boat, I can face anything that life has to offer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you know that, that is faith. Hallelujah. When you are confident in that knowledge, that is what? That is faith. That is faith. That is what? Faith. Mark 5. Continue, please.
Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Please listen carefully. You want to understand? I'm going to ask you some questions later about the characteristics of unclean spirits. Please listen carefully to this story. Go on.
Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there, near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid.
Okay, let's stop it there. We'll continue later. I have some questions for you now. And this will help me to teach this story well. And you know, this is not like a fictitious story. It happened. Amen? It happened. So questions is this. We are trying to understand the characteristics of unclean spirit. And we're going to use this story to understand unclean spirits and how they behave. So the question is, what are the characteristics of unclean spirits? So just looking at Mark 5, yeah? I want to look at, study those lines and tell me one one behavior, just one trait of how unclean spirits or how an unclean spirit behaves. In my list, I have like 10 plus answers. Just one characteristic of an unclean spirit is there. Check it. Mark chapter 5. Yes?
Chaotic.
Can you give an example of how they are chaotic?
They went into the pigs and immediately...
Yes. Okay. Chaotic, yes. But I'll refine your answer. I won't use chaotic, but I know what you're saying. But I take it, but I will refine later. Okay?
They are shrewd because they know God's plans.
They are intelligent. They are shrewd. They are intelligent. Yeah? They are what? Intelligent. Did you see them negotiating? Yes, more. Yeah? There are many. I have like 10 plus answers. Carson, check the story. Is there?
They live in isolation.
They like isolation. They took the man to where? The tombs, the place, you know, where there are dead men's bones. They thrive in the place of what? Isolation. It's not that they cannot live elsewhere, but just that they thrive. You know what I mean by thrive? They multiply. Yes? I come to you. Just a minute.
Seem to be very aware of when danger is coming their way.
They are aware. They are intelligent. They are aware. In fact, from the moment Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side," battle started. They are aware. They are ready. That's why they tried to stop him. And when they couldn't, immediately that ship landed, they came.
Yeah, but the question, how did they communicate?
This is spirit. In the spirit, there's no distance. Yeah? In the spirit, now, if you issue a command in the spirit here today, it can be effective in Brazil. Yeah? In the physical, there's distance. But in the spirit, there's no what? Distance. I mean, the closest you can use to understand that is your wireless technology, yeah? Where you can make a phone call and somebody can pick it. But in the spirit, you don't need wireless. It's already wireless. Yeah? There's no distance. Yeah, so in the spiritual realm, it transcends the physical realm, it's a higher realm, yeah? So in the spirit, someone can be in a location and see what's happening, you know, miles away, yeah? Someone can communicate here and the other spirit will pick it up miles away. And the same way we communicate with God, you know? Physically, our distance from God is so high, so wide, it's the longest distance. It's light years away. But we can pray. And he can hear us. And he can also speak to us in our conscience. So in the spirit, there is no what? No distance. Yes? Characteristics.
They are strong and stubborn.
They are strong and they are what?
Stubborn.
They are stubborn. Particularly when they are together. Because if you read that story, the Bible says that Jesus had already told the spirit to come out. Yet he didn't. So now Jesus had to change strategy. How to understand that? In this particular case, Jesus commanded the spirit to come out, but he didn't. Yeah? Then Jesus changed strategy and said, "What is your name?" Now, usually what happens is that when unclean spirit refuses to come out, it's because it's more than one and it's hiding. So basically, you know what he's doing? So Jesus said, "Come out!" Then he start arguing. Which one? Is it you? Is it me? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? And they're playing, they refuse to. It's part of their intelligence. So Jesus now said, "What is your name?" So then that locates the fact that there are many. They are stubborn. And they are what? And they are strong. Yeah? Yes?
They know the power of God.
They know the power of God. Yes, they know the power of God. This is them begging Jesus. "Please, don't torment us. Don't torment me." Actually, they are liars too. You see, when Jesus was talking to him, before asking the question, he didn't reveal there are many. He said, "Have you come to torment me?" More? Unclean spirit. They are liars. They are lying spirit. Yeah? More? Look at the story. Yeah, this is that last line. So I put it together. The story is there. You have not seen something that I saw. Look at the whole story. All the characters are all over the story. Look at it. You have to look at your Bible to get me more answers.
They torment the host.
They torment their host. Unclean spirit. They are sadistic and key stick. Let me explain that. Unclean spirits are what? Sadistic and what? Masochistic. It means that they derive pleasure from inflicting pain on their host, and they enjoy the pain while inside the host. So you see the man self-arming. He was cutting himself with what? With stones. That's uncleanness. It's a spirit of perversion and self-harm. And as he self-arming, those spirits were enjoying it. Yeah? I want you to understand that it is not the man. It's the spirit making him doing it, and they are both is enjoying it. So it's a combination of sadism and masochism together. Ma? What else did you see in the story? Characteristics of unclean spirits.
What I find interesting is that my name is Legion because there are many of us inside this man. So they can actually combine in one.
Yes, so unclean spirits.
Because Legion is...
Yeah, unclean... Let me tell you, the nature of unclean spirits is this. If an unclean spirit enters a region and it finds enjoyment, it will invite others to the party. If an unclean spirit enters a person and they see that they are very comfy, they will not, they don't, they will bring in more. That's how they operate. More? Let's now go back to what the answer you gave. Chaotic. I will not say it that way. So the answer you made, I just replaced. I said unclean spirit, they are sadistic and masochistic. The question is this: why did this unclean spirit tell Jesus to send them into the swine? First of all, there's an answer you've not given. They are territorial. They are begging Jesus, say, please, don't send us away from this region. Huh? And you also see them going to confront Jesus immediately. They are territorial. More?
They need to be in a body to exist and exert what
they prefer. They don't have to, but they prefer to be in a body. You know why? Because when they're in the body, they can enjoy their sadism and masochism. Only a body can give that expression. Without being a body, they cannot enjoy, you know, self-harm. That's why they need a body. Question. Yeah? Why did the unclean spirit ask Jesus to send them into the swine? That basically he said, please don't send us out of this region. Next moment, send us into the swine. Anybody read that? Why? Just follow. I've given the answers already. Just follow it.
So they can stay in the area.
In the area. It's negotiation. He basically, please don't send us out. Very shrewd. Next. Okay. You know what? Before they were like, we won't go out. They didn't say it, but they refused to go out. Now they negotiate. Before we go out, don't send us out of this region. If you agree to that, we will go out. Okay, why Jesus is thinking about it? He said, you know what, actually, we will go out, but just send us into the swine. Because going to the swine, they get to remain in the region. Question, did the unclean spirits need Jesus' permission to enter the swine? Did they get Jesus' permission to enter the man? So did they really need Jesus' permission to enter the swine? Which is more valuable? Human or animal? Let's calculate. I'll come back to that question. No, let me finish there. So, why did they want to enter the swine? Let's assume that Jesus could allow them to stay in the region. Wouldn't it have been better than waste a whole 2,000 pigs? Why did they want to enter? What was the advantage? What was the benefit of them going into the swine?
Does it say that each of them could possess one entity?
Yeah, but immediately they run them down the hill and they drowned. Means they were out again. Hello, please follow me what I'm trying to say. When this unclean spirit entered the swine, they drove them violently into the sea, and the swine choked and died, which means that the unclean spirits are what? Out again. But they get to stay in the region. But why did they go at all then? Because it's a matter of just maybe 5 minutes or maybe even 1 minute. Why go into a swine when you know that 1 minute later you're out again because they will die? Come on. I gave you the answer already. If you are thinking.
They didn't want to be expelled from the area.
Yes, I agree. So, but in addition to that, why go in? What advantage did they gain by going into the swine and coming out next minute after they died?
Wasting the owner's, resources.
Yes, wasting. But it's wasting, correct? But it's more than wasting. But it's waste. It was a waste. They are wasteful in order to achieve their target. Let's go to the young person.
Maybe to have an opportunity to take the owner.
No, it was not about the owners. this swine has been there all along. Hello? This swine has been there all along before Jesus came. They could have done whatever they wanted with them. What was the benefit at that moment? Okay, they get to stay in the region, I agree, that's the main benefit, but there's a secondary benefit.
Is it because they need unclean properties or person to be able to live?
So okay, let's just explain that first of all. The man that was possessed with unclean spirits had practiced uncleanness. That what opened the door for the spirit. And if he had many, he had a lifestyle of what? Uncleanness. Because when he had one, he continued to enjoy it until mocking. The swine themselves, they are unclean animals. But that's not the issue. The issue is that they went in because they like to inflict self-harm. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed the act of harming the swine and seeing them choke. Because they are unclean what? Unclean spirits. I want you to get the point. That point I'm trying to teach you that. The sadistic masochistic nature of this spirit is that they enjoy making their host undergo what? Self-harm. So that was the advantage they gained. Just they derive pleasure. Yeah? From violently killing those swine. They were laughing. They had fun. It's like basically, let's have some little fun. So that's the price that we are going to go out of this man. We are going to have some little fun. Let's talk about the value of a human soul. How many swine did we have there? About how many? It was in the story. About how many? 2,000 pigs. How much do you think a pig will cost today? Contract. How much? Pig. Okay, let me help you. For example, if you wanted to go to shops and you're going to buy a something of pork, like a portion. How much is a portion of pork? Just for Sunday roast. So how much do you think a whole pig will cost? Just based on those estimations. 70?
50 to 80.
50 to 80 pounds, 70. Any other answer? Yes, the old one. Medium size. Medium size.
200 pounds.
200 pounds. Wow, that's a lot. Okay, so I wish they just say 100 pounds. Huh? So how much is the value of 2,000 pigs? 2,000 pigs. 2,000 pigs times 100 pounds. What? No, 2,000 pig times 100. That's 200,000 pounds. Are you with me? Now, let's go back to Jesus. Because Jesus is righteous. Amen? So, for Jesus, remember, they could have entered the pigs without Jesus' permission. But it was an act of negotiation. So, rather than wasting all my time here being stubborn, they have agreed that they will go out immediately once they can enter our world. The pig. So the deliverance session does not have to be long. Are you following? That's the negotiation in Jesus' mind. Yeah? So Jesus says, a human soul, yeah, is worth much more than 200,000 pounds. That's the value of a human soul. A human soul, yeah, is actually worth more than all the treasures in this world. Hallelujah. That Bible says that what shall it profit a man if he what? He gains the whole world but loses what? His soul. Your soul is more precious than all the treasures of the world. You know why? Because all the treasures of the world are temporary. The day is coming where they will all be burnt with fire. All the monuments, all the statues, all the degrees, all the achievements, the day will come that they will be burnt with fire. Any earthly thing you did or achieved will be burnt with fire one day. God will, when God is coming home, yeah, bringing new Jerusalem to earth, He will first refine the old earth, burn off everything, so that there can be a new earth. Yeah, it's like when you are trying to settle in a new era, you burn off, clear off all the mess. Are you with me? But your soul, one soul, yeah. Bible says, "What can a man give in exchange for his what? His soul." Your soul is worth much more. That's why for Jesus, 2,000 pigs is not worth the value of one soul. Are you with me? Are you still here? I hope you understand the character of unclean spirit. Now, let me say something. There's nothing that amazing about the story. If this unclean spirit, let's say they are legion. So legion is thousands, yeah? Someone said maybe 6,000, but I will say now, from what we read, it's at least 2,000. Because at least one spirit has to enter. Because basically, they said, let's enter. So if we take one per pig, at least 2,000. Does it make sense? Question. Because these spirits are violent, yeah? Because we saw what they did to the pigs. So how come the man was still alive? How come these 2,000 unclean spirits had not violently destroyed this man before Jesus came? Any answers? You know, you know what I'm trying to do today? I'm making you look at that story. Because that story, they say, Lord, pack it. That will really help you in life. The Bible says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Yes?
Because it was not his time.
Okay, it was not his time. It's not a perfect answer. Okay. Yeah,
because
but
it was also because Jesus didn't go there alone. Mm-hmm. So it was to teach a lesson also, and that people see the blessing and the power of God.
Yes, I agree, but why couldn't they not killed him 10 years ago? I mean, like if they could kill the pigs in 1 minute, that means that they have the. In their characteristics, they don't care. Yeah? Any spirit that can destroy 200,000 pounds in 1 minute, they don't care. Yeah? They don't care. So how come they were in that man and he was still alive? Just your hand. Yes.
Thing is, they will in due time. They are just building their time. And then the moment they don't find him useful, like they've he's totally finished, they do away with him and move on to the next available person they can occupy.
Please, let me put your hands together. They were still finding him what? Useful. They were still enjoying his company. Do you want to say something?
No, I was going
to say amen. Torment. But he also shows you something that is deep about a human being compared to an animal. Yeah? A human being is not just a soul and a body. It's a spirit. You understand? There's something eternal about your soul. Yeah? And what the devil wants, ultimately, is not just to destroy your body, but to damn your soul. Are you with me? Yeah? The devil wants to not just destroy. You see, for those swine, he destroyed their body. Yeah? But for the human, it's trying to destroy their soul. Are you with me? He's trying to destroy their soul. Yeah? And also, he's also trying to walk to them. That's another issue. The other issue is that, think about it. When Jesus finished the story, delivered the man, he sent him to go and preach. Could he have sent the swine to go and preach? No. You see the value of his soul. So, that soul, when delivered, Jesus could use him. In fact, Jesus, the people were so afraid, they sent Jesus out of their country. The man wants to follow Jesus. Jesus said, no, you can't follow me. Now, on a good day, he could let him follow him. There's no harm in that. But really, Jesus' goal is not just to deliver this man. Jesus' goal is to deliver the whole country.
And to deliver the whole country, there has to be preaching of the gospel. Are you with me? The preaching of the gospel. Yeah? It's not signs and wonders that delivers a country. Yeah? It's what? The preaching of what? Of the gospel. By who? Angels or humans? A human. The testimony of a human. Yeah? Is the value of a soul. Are you with me? A soul is valuable. Say, when you say my soul is valuable, I will not allow the devil to waste it. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something also. The devil cannot waste your soul without your cooperation. That man did not get to his state he was in one day. Are you with me? He did not get possessed in one day. He started with obsession, oppression. Yeah? Before the princes try to oppress, they will try, they come from the external. They try just to push him, suggest, do that. And the more he cooperates with them in the acts of uncleanness, I explained to you 2 weeks ago, the more the door opens. Yeah? And even when the door opens, it's obsession. I can show you in Luke 8. In Luke 8, Bible says that oftentimes the spirit caught him. That's not possession. It's obsession. Let me give you, the Bible says in this story that this man, that many times they will put him in chains. Yeah? And then he will what? Break them. Follow the story. They can't put him in chain if it's under full influence of the unclean spirit. So when they were putting him in chains, what was happening? He was not fully possessed. It was occasional. The spirit come and take him over. Then they will what? Go. Yeah? When it's calm, they bind him. You with me? When the spirits come, you need to understand that those fetters are being removed. It's not physical power. It's demonic power. But when he was fully possessed, no man could tame him. Are you with me? So some pictures, you check on the internet, see some pictures that say, show the man in fetters. No. When he was in the tombs, there was no piece of metal on him. Because the spirits will not, they don't like to be restrained. Unclean spirits don't like to be restrained. Let me just, because of time, let me see how I'm doing with time. Okay, I need to begin to round up. Try to finish in 5 minutes. So, let me just tell you a bit more about unclean spirits. They are religious. They came to Jesus. And they worshipped. Yeah. Did you read it? It was when the man came to Jesus and said, worship. He said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the living God? I beg you in the name of God. That reminds me of some Nigerians. When they're in trouble, they will quickly call the name of God. They know how to beg in the name of God. Africans do it too. Yeah? But when you come to the West, you know that you can't beg a policeman. If you've broken the law, yeah, you are what? You're broken. The best way you can do is try not to break it. Amen? But you know when you come from a system that people get away with breaking the law, they know how to beg in the name of God. He said, I beg in the name of God. Do not torment me. But this is a spirit that takes pleasure in tormenting people. You see that hypocrisy there? They are religious. Hallelujah. They are manipulative. They are loud. That's why Jesus many times when he said, keep quiet. You don't want to have a conversation with an unclean spirit. You know why? They lie. Hello? You don't want, even when you're casting an unclean spirit, it's minimum conversation. Because why? They lie. That's why when Jesus wants to cast out spirits and they start saying, you are going to say, keep quiet. I don't need a liar to testify for me. I don't need a liar to validate my identity. Everybody say, keep quiet. Come out. Amen? If you're having a conversation with an unclean spirit, it's divination.
They are territorial. They are organized. They love to oppress, obsess, and possess humans who practice uncleanness. It doesn't happen overnight. It can happen in weeks, months, and years. So one of the ways to stake up unclean spirits is don't practice what? Okay. It's for your own good. When you start practicing it, you are in control. But when it takes over you, you will need somebody else to help you. Are you with me? So let me just see. So two more, I'll round up there. So what opens the door? No. Let me see. What opens the door for unclean spirits? Sin. But not just sin. Everybody sins and will repent. So I want you get that. But when someone is living habitual sin, when they are lying to dominate them and they are not repenting, yeah? So the habitual them is that it's their lifestyle and they are not repenting. That's what I mean. They are passing on cleanness. Then, let me show you some sins that we don't know. When someone knows the truth and is resisting the truth, he can open the door. You know what Jesus said to the Pharisees? Jesus cast out an evil spirit and he said, Jesus is casting it out by Beelzebub. You know what Jesus said? He warned them. He said, every sin somebody commits against me, it will be forgiven. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that is to know the truth and declare it a lie. Yeah? To blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to say, you know that this is the work of the Spirit of God, but you said, no, it's the devil. So, resisting the truth, resisting the Holy Spirit, refusing to repent. This, there's one more. There are many more, so let me list them. Seeking for signs and wonders. It's in Matthew 12. When they said, show us a sign, then we will know. Same paragraph, we talk about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, an evil generation seeks for what? Signs. But no other sign will be given than the sign of Jonah. And he said, those who saw the sign of Jonah, they repented. So refusing to repent, not once, over a long time, can open a door. Let me say another one. Dabbling into occultism can open the door. Not just in your life, but even in the life of your children. Unborn. There are some people that when they were pregnant, they went to dabble into occultism. They went to see an occultic. Now the child is born and has some specific problems. They got the gift from the dabbling. And if you've done that, you ought to repent. Dabbling into witchcraft. Can I say that witchcraft involves things like palm reading, tarot reading, and Harry Potter? Harry Potter is witchcraft. It is. Hello, I'm telling you the truth. Harry Potter is what? Witchcraft. Sorry? Yes, it's witchcraft. Don't dabble into it. What is it? What's Harry Potter? It's witchcraft. Amen. Yes, sir. Because everything is a story about witchcraft. They cast, they make spells, they cast spells. Yeah. Even not just the watching, even the books too. It's about making spells and what? Casting. Even when you open a portal, you will see witch and wizard there. The word itself, just like, go to a portal book and search for the word wizard. Find how many occurrences. Start for the word witch. Start for the word spell. Amen? And then finally, the final thing that can open the door to the Holy Spirit is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That one, you don't want to go there. Amen? You don't want to go there. Let's rise up. Because I could continue, but time is gone. Let's